talking about organics these days, but the man who started it all is right here. Here he is, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Hope everybody is having a good time, being thankful for all the many things to be thankful for, and getting to enjoy friends and family and neighbors and good food and all that kind of thing. Not too much good food. We had a little bit too much on our trip. You can see a little bit about our trip on our Facebook page, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. We have an annual golf tournament down there, and if you take a look at our Facebook, the team that tied for the win is pictured on there. A little more about that in a minute. Right now, I need to tell you that this hour is brought to you by Victor Pet Foods. Had a great meeting with them over in Mount Pleasant last week. Went over and see the guys. They're doing great. They're really doing a terrific job. And there's some things on the table that I'll be telling you about as we move on. It'll be some new things. In the meantime, just better dog food than you're going to find anywhere else for a whole bunch of reasons. No wheat, corn, soy, or gluten in anything that they make. There's nothing in their facilities there in Mount Pleasant that I don't like. Things like the preservatives, the toxic chemical preservatives that unfortunately are still used in a lot of dog foods. I don't put them in any of their products. They also have a grain-free line. That's what we kind of concentrate on, but we're trying all of them, see how the dogs like them so far. They pretty much like everything we've let them try from Victor. VictorDogFood.com is the website. Their Facebook page is really good. A lot of great pictures of dogs in there, so check it out. And speaking of dogs, they bring you the SPCA report each week, and we've got some good news and some bad news. The dog we really wanted to try to help that was featured in a cartoon that was on we had on Facebook, the white dog with the black eye, Vaughn, still waiting for a home. I don't know if there's some problem there. I don't think so, but those of you, I know a lot of you have been busy in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you have time to take a look at Vaughn on our website on dirtdoctor.com, click on the SPCA button there on the homepage, or better still, go by and meet Vaughn and the other wonderful dogs there. It's just west of downtown Dallas, and they would love to have you come by and check it all out there, especially Vaughn and this week's dog. And by the way, from last week, and we appreciate this, Rome was adopted. This week's dog is Katie Sue. Katie Sue's really a cutie, too. She's on our website, her photograph. She's a three-year-old, 44-pound lab mix with adorable brown spots on her white fur. She's really got nice color, and she came to the SPCA on November the 6th because her previous home was just not the right fit for her. She's a good gal, very much a people pleaser. She's the type of dog who loves everybody, but especially has her one favorite person in her home. She's real smart, learns tricks easily. She's also incredibly loyal, would love to be by your side for a lot of different events. She gets along well with other dogs. That's a good deal, but she'll need a slow introduction to them so she doesn't get too overwhelmed. She'd prefer to go to a home where the children, if there are any, are over age 7. So check out Katie Sue. She's really pretty. And please check out Vaughn, too. We'd still like to help Vaughn find a home. Wherever you are in the country, support the rescue organizations. Great way to get a pet, whether you're thinking about dogs or cats. It's just a terrific way to go. Mutts, of course, are what they specialize in. It would appear to most people. But don't forget that no matter what the breed is, whether you want a purebred dog or a Heinz 57 variety, you can get a dog from rescue. There are organizations out there that handle every kind of breed you can imagine. So we appreciate your help very much. Telephone number to be on the show with me, and we'll be going to the phones here pretty quickly. Jump on board, wide open line for you at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-444-3478. 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Beautiful weather here in Dallas. We've just really been lucky. Day after day, we're having gorgeous weather. It was windy yesterday, but still a beautiful day, up in almost 80, I guess. Bright sunshine. We had a little bit of fall color there for a couple of days, but the roller coaster weather, the heat, has pretty much knocked most of it, except for the red oaks that are still just coming on around here, off. Those of you in the north, I know you're having a lot of snow and crazy weather, but hopefully you'll have some good weather for gardening there. People south of us, no problem at all. Getting some interesting questions and comments and photographs coming in from all across the country, and we love to get that, how you're doing with your vegetable gardening and herb gardening and landscaping and all that. We are in the perfect timing here. We talked about this briefly on Bob Webster's show, which I do every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock Texas time here. We were talking about planting windows, and we're really in that window for transplanting and planting woody things, permanent perennials, things that, you know, that need to go in and get some root growth, because this is when you get that best part of the root growth during the dormant season, is the fall going into the winter, and then you get a little bit of root growth all the way through the winter, and then in spring, plants are in good shape and really take off. Leaves are an issue. We were covered when we came back from our couple of days out of town. They are coming down. Mow them into the turf, number one choice. Number two choice, mow them on the driveway, and then that reduced volume you get from that, use as mulch in beds, pots mixed into potting soils, whatever you want to use it for. Last option, and we do this too because we have so many leaves, but the last option is to go for the leaves to go into the compost pile. Never should they be put in bags and allowed to go to the landfill. Now, some of the people that go around and pick up bags from other people's foolish moves get mad at me for talking about that, but it's not going to change completely. You're still going to be able to get some leaves for your garden, but it would be best if everybody kept the leaves on their property and recycled them down into the soil, just like nature is designed to do. Time to plant for those. We're in zone 8, so across zone 8, zone 7, zone 6, pretty much the same thing. It's time for, and below us, time for planting the cool season kinds of things. Pansies, Johnny Jump Ups, calendulas, all the things that can take a little frost. Top of the list would be pansies and violas and Johnny Jump Ups probably. All the dianthus, carnations and pinks probably in that second category. Snapdragons can take some frost. Calendulas can take quite a bit. So we're able to garden for a lot of you listening. We're able to garden pretty much year round. So it's a good time to get the cool season things in the ground if you haven't already done it. Pots are in containers as well. We're removing and composting, putting into the compost pile the spent annuals that got fried by the hard freezes that we've had, and that's another thing that you need to be doing. Pruning trees, a lot of questions about that, of course, coming in, and we're getting questions about how to prune, when to prune, what to prune, and all that kind of thing. And we can talk about that. If you've got some specific questions, let me know. Generally, pruning is done now through the winter for sure. If you did it before now, when you can still see the green foliage, that's fine. Hope you didn't do flush cuts. Flush cuts should never be used. I'd rather you make a cut that leaves too long a stub than to cut too close to the tree. That creates decay, and it creates cavities, and it creates all kinds of problems. It's just, you're cutting into the tree when you do that. The branch collar is part of the tree, not part of the limb you're cutting away. So remember to leave those what look like stubs are actually part of the healing process of the trunk or the bigger limb that you're cutting something away from. mistletoe, things like that, parasites can be taken out. If you have those things, you have a stressed tree, do the sick tree treatment, which is explained on dirtdoctor.com, right on the homepage under the word guides, right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Okay, let's see what else. Just real quickly on the golf tournament, y'all have heard me talk about our golf tournament. It's a family tournament, but we have a lot of friends that come in and play as well. Take a look at Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor is our Facebook. You can see the team that tied for first place. I'll tell you the rest of the story when I come back. Telephone number 866-444-3478. I'm the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back after this. Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Did I tell you what my tea was? It's really good, simple, too. It's lemon juice and honey and a little bit of green tea in it, and it's a very simple tea, but good and good for you. We're going to go to the phones. We have people already holding real quickly, but I want to tell you about the golf tournament just a little bit more, not spend a lot of time because some of you don't care anything about our golf tournament, but it's a lot of fun. We had six teams. We always have somewhere between 30 and 40 people in Victoria, Texas, where Judy's family primarily is. And my team is the one you'll see on Facebook. We tied for first, got 12 under, made a bogey on one hole. Our team was the Fountain of Youth, and you can see the people there on the Facebook. Me, my wife Judy, Austin Keg, and my nephew and David Keg, my brother-in-law, and Tommy Ninke, who can hit it as far as Jordan Spieth. And by the way, congratulations to Jordan Spieth playing in a real golf tournament. Just won the Australian Open by about six shots. Congratulations, Jordan. Anyway, we tied with David Pilsner's team, who is a golf pro, and we the other team that we tied with was Bill Byers, Skyler, his son, Brandon Norman, Cullen Dorman, and Jeremy Belk. They came in third. The team that won was Pilsner. David Pilsner, his son, Kyle Pilsner, Winston Lowe, and Kelly Aldis. Kelly is a character, to say the least, and Nancy Keg. They came in first place on a card playoff. We didn't get to go out on the course and play it off because the course was too crowded. The weather was so beautiful that it was loaded, and so we did a card. The hole that was picked, the highest lowest handicap hole, highest handicap, no, lowest handicap hole, hardest hole. I'll get it right in a minute. They eagled and we birdied, so we came in a distant second. Anyway, thanks for putting up with that. Let's go to the phones. Let's see. There's one other thing. Harry the Hat Tournament's what it's called, by the way. Judy and her brothers and sisters' dad was Harry and wore funny hats. Played golf. Wasn't a great golfer, but a great guy, and the tournament's named after him, our annual event. Judy and usually Logan play very regularly. They play once a year. Logan wasn't there this year. She's in Costa Rica, so she's going to miss her yearly, she already did, miss her yearly golf outing. Dell in Waco is first up this morning with the Dirt Doctor. Hello, Dell.
Good morning, sir.
We gave you Baylor Bears a little scare last night, Texas Tech did.
You know, they really needed to shut them down and run like 100 points, but oh well.
I know. Well, you won, but not by enough.
I'm sorry. They're not going to make that top four. It's just not going to happen, but oh well. They look good. They still look good.
Oh, it's a good team. You got a real good team.
They you know, they put the backup in and he performed. It was good.
What you up to there in Waco?
Okay, so I inherited from a friend who was moving one of these little commercial black plastic 2x2x3 foot tall compost bins. Now, I compost, you know, with the big old pile method. But I got this thing, and I'm thinking, okay, I can set this close to the back porch and dump the kitchen waste, which I'm just like you. I compost everything. You know, if I can eat it, the compost can eat it.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My question is, in my big old compost pile, you know, I got tons of debris. What do I need to mix in this? I don't want to just dump all that organic waste in there. What, I need to feed it some leaves, or how do I need to control this thing?
Well, the best mix is, you know, if you wrote down the numbers, it'd be 80% protein, nitrogen material, green stuff, manure, kitchen scraps, things like that. I'm sorry, 20% those materials, and then 80% the brown, dry stuff, leaves, twigs, tree trimming, sawdust, stuff like that. 80% dry, brown, 20% green, wet, nitrogen, protein. That's ideal. But the truth is you can compost 100% of either one of those.
Well, my only concern is just if I just keep dumping nothing but kitchen waste in there, I'm just going to get a sludge.
Well, you do. That's right. What I do is I've got now three metal containers that house all of the stuff from the kitchen, and it's very soupy, and it's also full of the maggots, the black soldier fly maggots, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about bugs and things. I'm just worried about how do I make this turn into compost.
Well, what you do is once it's totally broken down, and you'll still be able to see some eggshells and some bones and some various kinds of things in there, but for the most part, it will have turned into a mush. And at that point, you simply mix it in with the dry material. Leaves that are ground up or whole leaves, either one. And that dry material, the dry high carbon material, will absorb the moisture. The moisture part of that mush from the kitchen is all the moisture you need. You don't have to add extra water. It provides all the moisture you need. And you just stir it in and mix it up and leave it there. That process changes it from something that would attract wild animals, if you just piled up a pile of kitchen scraps, to something that will help that carbon break down and become a beautiful, beautiful compost.
Don't worry about it. So don't worry. Just dump the kitchen scraps in there.
Just dump it in there and mix it in. Once it has turned into a, you know, pretty much unidentifiable mush, you just mix it in. And it doesn't really matter whether it's 10% of the pile or 50 or 60%. If you go over that, it's going to tend to stay a little bit too wet, maybe be a little anaerobic, which isn't the end of the world, but it's just ideal for it to be, you know, a smaller percentage, and you're going to have a better, more aerobic and more useful compost right away.
So don't make this harder than it has to be.
That's right. Just mix it together, leave it in a pile, and let it do its thing.
Okay.
Delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. The birds flew in so silently, I missed the break, and Dell and I were still talking. One thing we talked about off the air that I wanted everybody to hear is fertilizer use in the vegetable garden, especially for cool season things. Is it okay to be doing that now? And, yes, it is, especially if you haven't fertilized since back in the summer or even longer than that. If you've done a fall fertilization, you don't need to do another one, but we're still in that window for it to be considered fall fertilization. And if you're doing it in the herb garden or vegetable garden where you have planted recently or going to plant garlic, onions, shallots, leafy vegetables, any kind of cool season thing. In other words, it's going to be continuing to grow through the cool season, putting out the organic fertilizer. Like a Maestro Grow or a Green Sense or whatever you choose to use is perfectly fine. And not only that, it's a good time to do it. Put it out at anywhere from 10 to 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, which means 1 to 2 pounds for small areas, 1 to 2 pounds per 100 square feet, because the roots are going to be growing now and growing through the winter. So we're you know, we're wanting to feed it, those plants and have good root growth, because that's where we get the good size on the crops that we're growing. And the next question is about a red oak. But the one other thing I wanted to mention is that if you've got any bare soil out there right now, don't be taking all of that ground up leaf material to the compost. You know, cover the bare soil with it first. If you have ground up tree trimmings, that the ground up leaves going on first in a thin layer, and then the shredded tree trimmings mulch on top of that is perfect, because that recreates the forest floor. You know, having the finer texture and more broken down material touching the soil, the little bit larger material next, and then the coarse material right on the top. You can use the leaves as mulch, but if you put some kind of shredded material on top of it, it just holds it in place a little bit better. Ground up leaves will move around a little bit if you use them for the mulch. Other than that, they're perfect to use as mulch, but they won't stay in place as well as shredded tree trimmings. Well, the person wanting to talk about red oaks just left. Hope can come back. Matt, if that caller comes back, let me know. Regina, on the other hand, is still here with us in Dallas. Hey, Regina.
Hi, good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I always would have a million things to talk to you about in the garden, but of course, I'm the fluoride person, so the story rages on in Dallas about the fluoridation of our water.
Well, it's good. You making any progress?
You know, I don't know if we'll actually know the progress until they vote. Because the only one that's being very vocal is Shafi Kadane.
Mm-hmm.
And, Scott Grigg has totally stepped out and said that he understands the concept, and I think he'll vote appropriately. The rest of them, and for people who, just like me, I was a normal American, didn't know how many people are on our city council, but there's 15 people that are going to be voting on whether to buy more hydrofluorosilicic acid to put in our water.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unnecessary because we have 0.5 parts per million in our water, and there is not one bit of research that shows the difference between 0.5 and 0.7, even for the pro-fluoride people, that shows that it has any more positive effect. Raising it from 0.5 to 0.7 is the recommended level. So it's a common sense issue at this point with me. I'm like, why spend the money, go through all the liability and the caution and everything of it for 0.2 parts per million? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, are a lot of the dentists coming out strongly in favor of it and really pressuring the council to vote to continue to do it?
That's what's really weird, Howard. I've been watching this, I've been doing this since January, say, and I haven't had anybody talk to me or had anybody. I've even asked Sheffy, have they been coming out and pushing? He's had a couple personal dentists that have been lifelong dentists that are telling him, Sheffy, don't do this. We need to help the kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I have not seen a whole lot from the pro-fluoride side.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting, Howard. In other areas that people have fought this, I mean, they come out in force. I mean, that Pew, P-E-W, it's an organization that always shows up. They have it. Now, I don't know, and I'm thinking this might be it. We have an amazing thing here in Dallas. It's because the common sense factor, there is no thing for them to stand on, really. It's really amazing how it plays out in Dallas.
It's just a status quo thing, and that's what we deal with all the time with the natural organic approach when we try to get businesses and homeowners that don't believe in it to go our direction. They're much more comfortable just staying with what, you know, their peers and the industry is doing and has been doing for a long time. So that's what you're running into probably more than anything.
Yeah, but the status quo, they're having difficult with it this time. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Before, that's what I think is their problem. And where they've always wanted to paint the people that go against the fluoride issue as being scaremongers. It's not a scare tactic. There's no scare tactic. If anything, when they come out, they show pictures of kids with rotten teeth, and they're trying to scare people, and it's not working like it, you know, would normally. And I don't know. I just pray and hope that the council just decides that it just doesn't make any sense.
When do they vote?
Well, they have to vote before January 2015 because the contract's up like middle of the month. And they really only have a couple of you know, meetings more to vote. So we're talking less than a month or so. I mean, that's what's so weird. Nobody's even talking about when they're actually going to talk about it. Normally, see, every 3 years the contract comes up. They start talking about, well, which company are they going to buy from? That's the only topic of conversation. It's not whether we should or shouldn't. It's where are we going to get the best price.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even had any sort of discussion about that.
Hmm.
So that's why it's really quiet, very, very quiet. But it's quiet on their side. What we're doing, though, Howard, and I've sent you things, is Dogs Against Fluoridation. I got a website now, and we're doing memes, and we're bringing up the concept because a lot of times it's easier to look at something from another viewpoint. And these poor animals are very adversely affected from fluoride because of their size.
Sure.
Look at how little these dogs are. And how many people, like a lot of us, know better, and we use bottled water, but how many, there are some, will give their dogs bottled water. And, you know, dogs have a lot of problems with thyroid issues and other issues that there is a protocol or whatever the word's called that dogs are not supposed to have a whole lot of fluoride. And
well, what's the website or websites that people can go to?
Well, it's brand new. So it's dogsagainstfluoridation.webs.com.
Dogs Against Fluoridation. Okay.
Uh-huh. Dogs Against Fluoridation. And it's... We're having people make memes, which a meme is kind of like a picture, and then you put writing on it,
mm-hmm.
and it can have facts and draw attention in a more quick, sometimes comical way that can bring information out. But we are, okay, this Wednesday, several of us are going to the City Hall to speak before the council, and we're actually bringing in a man who is a leader in the LULAC organization. Because Hispanics and Blacks are disproportionately affected by fluoride. And so he's coming from San Antonio to speak, and then several other just citizens and people are going to be speaking to the council.
Well, San Antonio is using fluoride in their water now, too, aren't they?
Yes. They had not had it in for a long time.
Oh, I know. They were the last big city in the country to break down and start using it just a few years. It wasn't that long ago, was it?
Right, to 2006 or 9, yeah. Something like that. And it's just terrible because, you see, fluoride leaches the lead out of the pipes. And what's sad is there's a lot of good people. Like, I really like Jennifer Staubach Gates. I think she's a nice woman. She's just joined the council. She's Roger Staubach's daughter.
Right.
I think she really cares and wants to do things right. And she thinks that fluoride helps the poverty area people. But it's hurting them even more. So it's one of those crazy things that I'm praying and hoping when they see the light and they say, oh, I'm trying to help and I'm hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those areas, Blacks have 6 times higher blood level of lead and Hispanics 4 times higher blood level of lead and whites have 2 times higher because the fluoride leaches the lead out of the pipes.
That's a detail I didn't know. It's good. Well, everybody go to the website then. It's dogsagainstfluoridation.com. I'll get Tater and Carmen to check in on the website also.
Can I say something about my tree, though? Can
sure,
I talk
yeah.
about other things now? Okay. And I am really glad to find you. I had heard about you forever. I've lived in Dallas, you know, over 30 years, but I never took time to listen to your show. And now I do. And my problem is, I can't just sit by the radio, so I try to listen to the archives, but I want to hear you every morning because I have so many issues because I care about gardening and stuff now. This is another new thing in the last 3 years, and I love the whole concept now, and now I need to catch up. But I have a very big pecan tree in my backyard, at least 70 years old. It's beautiful. It produces big soft-shell pecans, but I've had ivy growing on it, which is beautiful. I liked it. I thought it looked real pretty, and but I've been told that this ivy is not good for the pecan tree, and it grows at the base of the tree, too. And I've been listening when you say roots are supposed to be, you know, and it doesn't. I mean, there's ivy all over the place.
Well, Regina, you need to go to the next to the last newsletter that we did. I think that was it. Anyway, it's one of the most recent ones that we put out. And it sounds like you don't get the newsletter, so you need to sign up for that. But I did a newsletter just on that subject. And it's very, very important for you to get the ivy off the tree and off the trunk, out of the top for sure, and off the trunk next and off the flare as the final step and take the ground cover out and make a little bare area about a foot around the tree at the base right now. And the reason you want to do that, one, we want to get the ivy off the trunk. It functions to a degree like having soil or mulch piled up on the trunk. The bark is designed to breathe, and it can't breathe and do its job of protecting the tree right if it's covered up with something that's building up dust and debris and becoming soil, and the ground covers and the vines, the ivies will do that. The second part of it is when you pull the ivy or ground cover off of the trunk and the base of a tree, generally you're going to find that the tree's too deep in the soil. The flare's not showing. You know, you're going to expose where it ought to be showing, and it may not be showing, probably won't be. And if that's the case, you need to remove the soil and the mulch and expose that flare, and you'll see your tree. Sounds like it's doing well, but you'll see it do even better.
Now, the only other thing is, it's covered really. Now, when they pull that ivy off the tree, is it going to damage the bark?
No, not at all. It's damaging it being on there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Let me put you on hold if you had something else, and we'll talk more about trees. I want to talk about red oak. Somebody called and couldn't hold, and I'll bring up some items myself. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Howard Garrett here for Chia Omega. You know, the healthcare professionals often recommend supplementation of omega-3 for cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. I recommend the all-natural plant-based Chia Omega family of omega-3 formulas. They combine chia oil with ingredients like DHA, EPA, enzymes, CoQ10, and vitamin D3 for enhanced health benefits. You can find Chia Omega at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and all of a sudden we've got wide open lines. So jump on here, whether you want to talk about trees or flowering plants, cool season vegetables, herbs, potted plants, interior plants, all kinds of subjects are on the table. In any way you want to bring them up, give us a call at 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. The questions, some of them, while we were out of town for a couple of days, that came up were about fall color and why plants are this color or that color, and what about the weather and some of the things Bob is being asked in down San Antonio, same kind of thing. After last week's show, I mentioned last week that the fall color wasn't looking very good. And then when Judy and I were on our way down to Victoria on Wednesday, we're noticing that some of the yellow colors are just beautiful in the Lakewood area and driving south, and then it kind of tapered off. But some of the American elms and even the cedar elms, which aren't known for their spectacular fall color, really had a few days of gorgeous bright yellow color. And when we got back, our ginkgo had completely lost all its foliage. It just had, by far, its worst year. It didn't have good color at all. And some of the other plants, the big Mexican buckeye that we got in the front yard was pretty when we left, and it's pretty much defoliated when we came back. The Japanese maples this year are tending to be, I'm seeing more yellow fall color than red. Some of them in our front yard are just now turning red. The ironwood, Persian ironwood that we have in the back yard that you've heard me talk about a lot, Parodia, it is not turned at all yet, and it still may have some really pretty fall color. I don't know what's going to happen with it. Red oaks, they're kind of a head scratcher. It looks like they were so far behind other trees that they still had
plenty of chlorophyll and plenty of complex carbohydrates and everything in the leaves, and the cold weather did not set everything into motion much at all. And it doesn't look like the freeze damaged the leaves. So we may still have some really nice red fall color. What kind of red color you'll have is anybody's guess. Some red oaks turn scarlet red. Some turn so-so red, kind of a dirty red. Some turn yellow. Some red oaks turn yellow. And some just turn brown. And a lot of them that turn brown and don't have much fall color will tend to stay on the tree all through the winter. If that happens, not a thing you can do. If you have a tree that has that characteristic, it has that gene that keeps its leaves through the winter, and then they are kicked off in the spring when the new leaves start to bud. The buds push the old leaves off, and you get to clean up leaves a second time of the year. That happens every year with the live oaks. Live oaks kick off their leaves in the spring every year as the buds swell and the new leaves start to grow on. You get to clean up the live oak leaves at that point. Red oaks are going to give you leaves to deal with from now on, because a lot of them have just now started to kick off a few leaves. Very little red fall color, at least in our zone, in our part of the country. Those of you north have already dealt with this. Those of you in the south, it's going to be a while longer. But the red fall color is something that you get what you get. There's nothing you can do when you buy the tree to absolutely guarantee what you're going to get. You'll have a better chance if you go into the nursery today, and there's already some fall color on the plant, whatever it is, maple, sweet gum, or an oak of some kind or whatever it is. The color that's on the plant in the nursery, there's a pretty good chance that's what you're going to get from now on, but it's not a guarantee, because when you plant that plant in soil that's a certain chemistry, certain fertility, certain moisture level, one way it would influence the fall color to be maybe purple or red. In another soil, it might push it the other way to be a different color. Some plants, like the Parodia, that's a good example, the ironwood, the Persian ironwood, which I think is a fabulous tree. If you can find it, it's a small to medium tree, considered an ornamental tree. Mine has spectacular yellow fall color, but some of them, and I've seen some in the nurseries around in photographs on the internet, get a brilliant red color. It's kind of like the Japanese maples. You can get and crepe myrtles. You can get a range of fall color from yellow to deep reds and purple. The crepe myrtles, the white ones and the pink ones, will tend to have yellow fall color, not always. And then the red ones and the purple ones, flowering crepe myrtles, the flowers, will tend to have red fall color. So it just varies. Well, lines are starting to line up again. I got too long-winded there about oaks, but we needed to talk about that. If you got a question about that or anything else, give us a call. We'll go straight to the phone lines right after this break. So those of you that are holding, hang on, and we will talk gardening. If you want our newsletter, it's free. Just fill out the form that's on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on the button, the green button over there on the left side that says Organic Club of America. That's our members area, the private part of the website. And if you want any information about our books or any of the other things that we have available, it's all right there on dirtdoctor.com. We'd love to have you become a part of our little community. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.